Welcome to the 612 podcast. I'm Jonathan Stiano, consultant plastic surgeon, and I'm going to talk about how you can make your private practice run like a business rather than just a job. I'm going to talk about putting in systems and processes into your practice so that you can deliver a consistently excellent service and level of care to your patients. I'm not talking about the clinical care that you deliver, I'm talking about everything else. Every week at 6:12, I'll be on the club Facebook page with a live broadcast where I'll be giving tips and advice, and I'll run on to this podcast, which will be published every Friday. So here goes for today's episode. Coming at you, having some problems doing the live broadcast, so having to do this recorded, and I'll post it straight away. But what I'm talking about today is, I try not to be too businessy on these things, because we're all doctors and we're not businessmen, and we're here to treat patients, and I am very much of that vein. But I guess I'm probably a bit more businessy than your average doctor. And to be fair, if you want to have a successful private practice and treat more patients, then you have to, in a way, be a bit businessy, because if you are successful, then that allows you to treat more patients. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to be businessy. Just being businessy doesn't necessarily mean being unethical or sort of money grabbing or what have you. And so the message today is around the thought of thinking about what are your most profitable actions. And if you can think about what they are, and if you can analyze your figures to find out what the most profitable actions are, that might help you to plan what you need to focus on. Because I'm not saying just do the profitable things at all, but sometimes there might be no difference and you might be surprised. I'll give you an example of what we've done in my own practice. We do AdWords, we pay for advertising, and if you look at, especially when you've got other doctors, I've got other doctors working at the clinic, and if you look at how much money you make per hour, if you like, it's surprising, because you might think we do, broadly speaking, bigger cases and under GA and smaller cases under local anaesthetic, and within the bigger cases, it's kind of pretty clear that the breast augmentation is the one. It takes about an hour in theatre and you get paid quite a lot. Whereas a breast reduction or a breast lift or a tummy tuck is not as profitable. But if you look at how long you spend with the patient, because you can't just look at how much time you spend in theatre, if you look how much long you spend with patient, you have usually two appointments preoperatively, which is usually an hour long, plus lots of phone calls, and the amount of work post-operatively, because we never charge for follow-ups and we never discharge anyone, so there's quite a lot post-operatively. So if you look at per hour of time spent, you will find that it's perhaps not as profitable as you think. And sometimes people look at you and say, oh, you must earn thousands of pounds because you can do, you know, three breast augmentations in a morning, you paid all this money, and then you go home and, well, that's, you know, if you're getting paid that for a morning, extrapolate that for a whole week, but you're not going to be doing that every day. So we've looked at the work we do, and we've actually found that, you know what, minor ops are pretty profitable, and because a minor op, we do a see and treat, so you'll see them once, take the mole off, and then see them for one follow-up, and then that's usually it, maybe a dressing in between for stitches. And so if you look at how much you're making per hour, then actually minor ops is up there. But even within that, we've analysed it within our minor ops. So we've looked at if you look at how many leads you have in a certain period of time, so we're looking at, like, for instance, 90 days. Look at how many leads you get in 90 days, how much revenue you get in 90 days, and then divide it, and then you can get how much revenue per lead, if you like. And so we've stratified, we've got moles, cysts, lipoma, and what have you. So moles, pretty good. Cysts, better. Lipoma, better still. So lipoma is the best out of mole, cysts and lipomas, and I think that's because the average price of a lipoma is a little bit more expensive, because they tend to be a little bit bigger.
But the one that completely blows it all out of the water is tattoo removal by about a factor of tenfold, significantly more more valuable, if you like, per lead. And so with all other things being equal, so by all means, if you like doing cysts or if you like doing breast augmentations or breast lifts or tummy tucks, by all means, focus on those things. But if you don't particularly like doing something and if you're kind of happy doing anything, then think, okay, well, maybe I should focus my efforts on minor ops rather than major ops. Maybe I should focus my efforts on tattoo removal rather than mole removal. It just helps you. I mean, this is just my own practice. So in your practice, it might be completely different. The procedures and the activities might be completely different. But you might find, you know, for instance, if you do knee replacements, you know, scopes actually per hour of your time, an arthroscopy might actually be more profitable than a knee replacement. So if you start looking at things, it's a bit different when you're getting into insured work. So I've always said, you know, focusing on the self-pays, it's a bit, probably a bit easier and a bit clearer with the insured work. But really, if you focus on the self-pays and you look at what where you can kind of maximize your revenue for your time, and as I say, when you start getting other people working for you, then that takes the emotional side of it out, where you say, well, I actually like doing tummy tucks. It kind of doesn't matter if you like doing tummy tucks, because you're not doing it anyway. You know, someone else is doing it, so you can drive the sort of traffic that you want to drive to your business. And as I say, it becomes a little bit more of a business, because it often costs the same. And it doesn't necessarily mean financial cost. I'm not necessarily talking about AdWords and things like that, because that brings in another element of difficulty with the Google AdWords, especially around tattoo removal, because a lot of people are looking for laser. So I'm not talking about costs in that respect, but certain costs in terms of if you're posting things on social media, if you're doing videos, if you're, you know, promoting your practice, then it might help you to guide as to what sort of thing you should be promoting. And maybe, like in my instance, you know, maybe we should be pushing some more before and afters of tattoo removals, and pushing the tattoo removal, because now we've got the knowledge that it's a significantly more valuable lead than for instance a mole. And so, you know, that has been a sort of useful thing we've done in my own business. And I think to whatever degree you want to do it, but you can think of it in a certain degree in your business. And as I say, we've just looked at the amount of leads we get over a certain period of time and the amount of revenue we get over a certain period of time for that same thing, to get an idea of how much a lead is worth, to see how many, you know, to see who we should be trying to get. And then the flip side is that looking how much per hour you're making from a certain procedure. So if you're looking at, for instance, a breast augmentation, it's not just the hour in theatre, you know, probably before an anaesthetist, it's an hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours in theatre, plus, you know, 2 hours preoperatively, plus who knows how many hours postoperatively. So on average, it is a plus, you know, the potential revisions, etc., particularly with things like dog ears on tummy tucks and what have you. You know, once you factor all these things in, then all of a sudden it becomes not quite so clear cut as to what the most valuable things are. And you might be surprised at where you are actually making a lot of money. And you might not mind doing the things which you're making a lot of money at. And so it might not be a win-win. I mean, as I say, if you don't like doing those things, by all means, don't do them, do something else. But if you do like them, well, then why not promote those as opposed to other things? So it's just about being mindful, just being thinking about it a bit more like a business. What are the most profitable sort of products? Normal businesses are used to this. You know, Tesco, Sainsbury's, you know, normal businesses know where they make the money and promote those things and have other things to entice people to buy those sort of high value items. But as doctors, we're not really that way inclined, which is good. But at the same time, we could perhaps tweak it a little bit and just be a bit more mindful of what is sort of where the value is in our practices. And it might just make it a bit easier on our lives. That's kind of what I'm about. Kind of either make more money or make the same amount of money and do less work. It's kind of like the second one I'm kind of focusing on. You know, if I can earn the same amount of money but actually do less work, then why not do that? So if I, you know, promote tattoo removal rather than moles, that means I can get the same amount of money in but for less work. So yeah, but if you want more money, then it works with that as well. So I hope that's been helpful. I hope I got my point across. And I'm off now for 2 weeks because it's Easter. So happy Easter, joy to all, and Christ has risen. And I will see you in a few weeks' time.